Normally, I would say good evening, but there's nothing good about this one, folks. It is April 26, 2018, and no doubt about it, this was a stinker. This was a bad one. This was uglier than me waking up in bed in the morning. Yes, the Sharks lose to the Vegas Golden Knights 7-0. That's right. I think they put up more points than the XFL's Las Vegas Outlaws in their only season of existence. Welcome to Teal Town After Dark. This is your live interactive Sharks post-game show. Hi, everyone. This should be an interesting one. To be a part of the show, join us in the YouTube chat, on the page, or the app. Use the hashtag TealTownUSA. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, YouTube. You name it, we have it for you. All right, with me tonight, the guy who spells his name the right way, and I guess he did his laundry, it's Mr. Eric Landy. You are muted.
For everybody who really wants to know, the laundry was done at the second intermission when the game was gone.
Okay. All right, also joining me tonight, Gentry Alexander.
I don't know if I'm here or if I'm in some realm of hell that's reserved for people who talk in the movie theaters or LA Kings fans.
Oh, I'd add Vegas fans too, but
No. They're there because they're doing the wave in hell.
Yeah, exactly.
but you know what? They're doing the wave and when the goaltender joins in, you're having a good time. And hey, you know what? Let them have a good time, especially after tonight. Also joining tonight, Mr. AJ Strong.
What up, what up, what up?
What up, what up, what up? All right. There's no way to get into this and just rip the Band-Aid off, folks. Started fairly dominant early by the Golden Knights. Forces Tomas Hertl to take a high-sticking penalty against Jonathan Marchessault. Thankfully, nothing happened there, but it did set up eventually Cody Eakin getting a tip of a Brady McNabb shot, which was from a Perron pass. 4:31 into the first period. Knights up 1-0. Didn't see anything wrong there. Just did not work out that way. And then 26 seconds later, Eric
Holla
gets his second of the playoffs from Tuck and Neal while Couture was stuck playing defense after trying to get a dump in right away. That made it 2-0. Not even a minute five later, Jonathan Marchessault gets his first of the playoffs. I'm surprised by that, but it is what it is. From Smith and Carlson at 6:02, 3-0 Golden Knights. And then Alex Tuck pretty much took the Sharks to let them have the night off. Finishes off the scoring the first period at 11:43 from Carlson and Smith. 4-0 Golden Knights. Sharks did get a plethora of chances on the power play early on, just could not convert whatsoever. Very penalty-filled first period, guys. I'll start with you. Landy, your take from the first period and how it set the tone for the Knights.
Yeah. Well, the Sharks were blitzed in the first 5 minutes of the game. They knew it was coming and pretty much had no answer. And really that goal by Alex Tuck accentuated the night for them. I mean, he dangles through three penalty killers and just undresses Jones. He gets pulled. You know, the worst period in playoff history of the Sharks, maybe. Maybe. I mean, I don't know of another one that beats it. I mean, there were some pretty bad ones in that Chicago series in 2010, but I think this one takes the cake. And to be quite honest, they were dominated in all facets of the game tonight. Especially in that first period, they just got rolled. They got rolled and they had no answers.
Gent, your take from the first period. I think Vegas played an outstanding period of hockey. I think they played it perfectly to a T there and took advantage of the slowness and the mistakes that the Sharks gave them.
It seemed like the Sharks clearly had it on easy mode when they were facing the Ducks last round. And then somebody cranked the difficulty up to legendary because this was a catastrophe I haven't seen since Ishtar, Geely, and Prince of Persia all wrapped into one. This was an awful mistake of a hockey game. Did somebody put the District 5, team out there before they became the Mighty Ducks? Like, it was like watching Jones was like watching Goldberg. Just like, just take it in there. Olay! Because everybody disappeared. They were ghosts of themselves. I'm waiting for the twist to happen. This was awful.
AJ, your take from the first, and what did you see right then and there, especially early on when they scored like those two goals 26 seconds apart, and it just looks like just a nightmare.
Obviously, clearly the transition game was MIA. It clearly did not make the trip from San Jose to Vegas. You saw a lot of silly giveaways in the neutral zone. They weren't contesting the line. They were letting Vegas go in with impunity. I mean, dear Lord, when you can score a goal by skating through four defenders who are all not in the place they're supposed to be, they're missing their assignments, they're missing their position. This had catastrophe written all over it from the get-go. Sharks had no answer for this top to bottom. And you looked, again, missed assignments, guys not making the play, the smart play that they're supposed to, chasing the puck, chasing players. Then it got to a point where they're trying to chase hits. It was silly. So I hope that this is the whole idea of the Sharks just had to get this one out of their system. We'll see, obviously, what happens in game two, but I would expect the Sharks to be much more prepared for the next game. I'll be interested to see if we see any changes to the roster going in, because we've seen PDB after four games. Hey, if I screw with this roster, I'd be an idiot, right? Well, now that you've seen this, makes you wonder that PDB might make adjustments just by way of panic.
And here's the other thing. We will get to it as we dissect the third period, but there's a possibility that he might have to make a change. So we shall see.
Possibility. I mean, I think that is the least they should do. I mean, as far as whether you want to call it structurally from a roster perspective, or if you want to call it from a perspective of getting ready for a game, or quite frankly, just the philosophy of this team, because they were outskated. They had no answer for the speed. It was a complete dismantling, the likes of which we saw round one when the Sharks did it to Anaheim. I mean, it's a complete role reversal, and the Sharks need to be scratching their head and figuring out what the hell do we need to do.
With that, we move on to the second period where the Knights finished off Martin Jones's evening with a nice play down low to Shea Theodore that beats Martin Jones, although he didn't have much of a chance on that one. 3:28 into the period, that makes it 5-0. Jones's night is done, bringing in Aaron Dell. Jones, 8 saves on 13 shots, 6.15 save percentage, played 23 plus minutes on the evening for tonight.
And why was he in there that long?
We'll see. I would have been surprised that he wasn't pulled after the first period, but I would have thought that there would have been something changed in that sense, and we've seen it where they let them finish out the period and change it out. Like, you know, when Gibson was pulled, they brought in Miller in the third. But AJ, I'll start with you on this. Martin Jones, not exactly the greatest game. I'm not going to even attempt to imply that you start Aaron Dell, even though he was 19 of 21 on the rest of the evening. But is this one of those where you just hope you shake it off and go on for game two on Saturday?
Of course you shake it off. I mean, 7 for 11. Yeah, those numbers suck, but defense was doing him no favors. You had forwards overcommitting, and I think they got scared after that. Those first two quick goals were scored, and then they were overcommitting in the offensive zone, and they were not picking up their assignments coming back. There was not enough coverage in front of Jones. Jones was one of those goals. You could absolutely make a case that, yeah, he should have had that one. Okay, I'll grant you that. The other ones, no. It was just missed assignments. It was guys not doing their job in front of him. I don't hang this on Jones. I don't. Not, you know, 3-0 and they're all seeing eye shots. Okay, maybe you can hang that on the goalie. 7-0? No, that's a team effort for you to guys screw the pooch that bad.
Jet, what else would you say that the Sharks dealt with in that sense? Because I mean, we talk about Jones. AJ pretty much broke down the forwards in that sense. Defensively, I know that wasn't their greatest night. In fact, the whole defensive unit was a minus.
But the defensive pairing that was the worst of that, a minus two, was the combination of Paul Martin and Brent Burns.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, but I don't know, if you're trying to match speed, why do you have Paul Martin in your lineup?
And that begs the question that I'll start with Landy here. Do you replace him with Joakim Ryan? And for that matter, do you even attempt to make sure that Tim Heed's ready to go? Here's the situation too, folks. Barracuda play tomorrow in Tucson. If they lose that game, their season's over. I wouldn't be surprised if you see them get on a quick flight to Vegas to join the Sharks. But Paul Martin plays 10:01 tonight, total. And I think, I forget who I saw it. It might have been Gentry. It might have been you. Where it says, if the Sharks were to take one more penalty, Vlasic and Braun would probably play 10 minutes shorthanded overall. They both played 9:15 tonight. But Landy, the question to you, defensively, should there be some changes on the defense tonight or for game two?
I think it's wholesale. I mean, if I'm Peter DeBoer, I go, okay, Paul Martin, you know what? You had a good ride against Anaheim and against a team that's heavy and plays that West Coast style. You know what? You did us a solid. You came in and you played well. You can't have a liability out there. Brent Burns, I mean, we've heard rumblings of something in his foot or something in his wrist, but whatever it is, he's not right. And so you're going to put not only an anchor on him, but you're going to also ask him to play, you know, through some kind of injury. So, yes, I take Paul Martin out. The other guy I take out is Brendan Dillon. I mean, he got skated around circles tonight. For that matter, I mean, Dylan DeMello didn't have that great either, but Dylan DeMello is a little bit quicker than Brendan Dillon. And maybe you put DeMello and Heed together because he can definitely hold his own speed-wise. But yeah, I at least take Paul Martin out and stop the bleeding there. You know, I don't know what Peter DeBoer has to see before he realizes that, you know what, Paul Martin is just not suited for this style of game.
Well, and guys, AJ, I'll go with you really quick. Joachim Ryan, does he come in on Saturday?
Well, I'm not the coach, so I don't know. But if I was, I would put him in. To address a couple earlier comments, you know, Gentry bringing up the fact that Martin and Burns were both minus two. Well, so were Pavelski and Couture, who led the team in scoring in the first round. So was Hurdle, who had two game winners. I mean, this was just a complete crapping of the bed for this game. So I don't put necessarily – I don't hang the worst parts of this game defensively on Burns and Martin just because their stat says minus two. I mean, Burns also did have a couple quality looks, but I will wholeheartedly agree that now the Sharks are not facing a heavy team. They're facing a speed team. They're literally facing a team in the mirror. So how do you deal with that? Job one, I would totally agree with Landy. Replace Martin, put in Ryan, put speed up there. It also forces Burns to be a little more defensively responsible. I feel like when Martin is with him, he feels like he just has carte blanche, free reign to do it, you know, act the fool because Martin will pick him up. But that's not the case when Ryan's out there. He's got to think a little bit more about his game, find open lanes, be more defensively responsible. I'm totally about that. Dylan and DeMello, I actually thought Dylan and DeMello were very solid in the first round. Dylan impressed me in a couple of those games. Tonight, I mean, you can sit there and point out a couple bad plays or whatever, but to sit there and say, you know, Dylan is, you know, horse crap for this, or DeMello this or whatever. When you give up 7-0, that's a team effort, boys. There's just no way around it. Everybody crapped the bed in this one. Everybody should. I don't care that, you know, Timo is zero, where there's, again, Hurdle, Couture, Kane, Pavelski, all minus two, you know.
That's your entire top six right there. Is all those guys, all your top six, and all your defense is minus.
Yeah, they all had a bad – yeah, well, let's go back to the game against L.A. in game three. I'm sure all their defense had minus, you know, for in L.A.
Hey, you know who wasn't? You know who wasn't minus the other night and who did show up tonight? The fourth line. And Eric Fair.
Actually, the third line, LeBanc and Meyer.
Eric Fair, Marcus Sorensen, and Melker Carlson – are all zeros and no goals against,
along with Meyer, Tierney, and LeBanc. So you give them credit for that. The bottom six did do their job defensively. But, you know, kind of getting back to the fact that, yeah, I mean, Paul Martin, 10-0-1 with a minus two, that's rough, but the whole defense defensively sound in the top six. And I think they scrambled a little bit. Let's be real here, guys. I think they scrambled a bit here when they went down 2-0, then 3, then 4, then you have to play loose in order to do that. And we also saw the slowness from the power, from the forwards. We saw LeBanc take a bad penalty because he was out there long. That's the tough part. It was they were taking sloppy and slow penalties, and it really cost them in the long run.
The Sharks power play tonight was hot garbage. There were two out of the five that they had. I saw they had about three quality scoring chances during two of those power plays. The rest of them were hot garbage. And I don't know what you have to do to fix that. That is clearly the Achilles heel of PDB at this point. These guys were. And maybe PDB is telling them to do the right things and they're just not executing. But I saw a lot of guys standing around looking for something to happen rather than moving their feet, getting into position, finding the open spot.
You know, and you know who I look at square in the face for that? Two players, Mikael Boedker, and you know what? Kevin LeBanc had a horrible, horrible game tonight.
I mean, I don't know. Was
making soft plays on the boards, you know, but basically not taking the body and not being responsible with the puck in the offensive zone. Mikael Boedker passing up clear opportunities to shoot on net, holding the puck way too long. You can't hold the puck that long. And I mean, there was a sequence where He goes behind the net. He's holding the puck all the way from the blue line to the behind the net, and then comes all the way out to the slot. He's, mind you, still holding the puck, tries to do a spinorama and get a shot on net.
And he fans Boy, on it.
And he fans on it. Boy, you've got to simplify your game when you're playing a team that can back check like this and can really just get shots off on the rush like they do. I don't know why he continues to try to make that maneuver when it's going to end up in a fan or it's going to end up in a turnover.
And a lot of shots that went wide, some of them might have been intentional to try to throw it off and try to get that deflection from the boards. But to go in the chat here, fair. They asked about fair. I thought he played well despite taking a penalty tonight.
He was positive in the circle. That's one of the things that you asked from your guy who's going to play fourth line.
Yeah, keep going in the chat here. Sorensen was the best Shark on the ice, in my opinion, from Burge 7F91.
Totally agree. Totally agree.
And boy, does that say something as to how poor the rest of this team did.
Well, as we transition over to the third period, once Kane was tossed, Sorensen was on the top line up there. So that was a huge thing. So let's talk about the elephant in the room. Pavelski takes a slashing call in front of the net. He was getting called. Evander Kane, I guess, would come around to defend his captain and kind of just gave him like a cross check a little bit. Another cross check hits Belmar's face. He goes down. That starts whole thing. So he receives a 5-minute major for the high cross check and a game misconduct. Obviously, that will get reviewed by the league tomorrow. For people who are saying we'll get reviewed tonight. No, it's
tomorrow.
It's 1 a.m. already. They're not going to review that. This will be interesting to see. Jen, I'll start with you on this one. What did you think, and what do you think he might get?
It was a dumb move that Kane made. This was what I was worried about when we acquired him. He had a good run while he was there, but then this is the kind of crap that he's known for, and you can't do this. This is your first time in the playoffs, and you're gonna try to goon it up like that. That is that should have never happened. You should have been able to compose yourself. Because you know what? That kind of stuff may have flown in Buffalo when nobody really cares and you're not going to the playoffs. This is the big time. This is when you actually need to show up.
Landy, what did you think of it, and what do you think he'll get?
You know what? I'm sorry to say this, Gentry, but I disagree. I mean, at least the guy shows some heart. And you know what, you might call it a goon play or you might call it whatever, but I mean, you know, the amount of emotion that I saw from the Sharks tonight, he was the guy with the most emotion. And this team has always had the knock that, you know, when it gets jabbed in the face, it does not jab back. It's always had the knock of being very gentlemanly. And you know what? It's worked in some instances, but in others, and I can tell you two series where it didn't work for them. It didn't work for them against Chicago in 2010, and it certainly didn't work for them in Pittsburgh in the Cup final. And you know what? They're going to need a little bit of nastiness to their game if they're going to try and beat Vegas. Because you look at the teams that have successfully taken on the Sharks, they've had a little bit of that edge to them. The Kings in that reverse sweep. Oh my God, you'll look at that team on LA, and they just dared them to try to face up to them. So, while yes, it you know, he needs to be a little bit more selective with his hit backs or his press backs. I like the emotion that I saw from him. Was it ill-placed? Yes. Will he get suspended? I don't think so, because I feel like Belmar, if Belmar would have gone off or had blood or been more apparently injured, I would say, yeah, he'd probably get a game, maybe a deuce. But in that instance, I think he'll probably he had the misconduct and he had the 5 minute major. I say he probably gets a fine, and at most a game.
Gotcha. AJ, what did you think of all this?
I think Toronto's going to take everything into account. I'm going to sit there and go, okay, they gave him 5'10". That's good enough. It wasn't egregious to the most part. I mean, he didn't knock the player out or anything like that.
He
didn't
put him out of the game too.
Exactly. So it's nothing like that. I couldn't disagree more with Gentry at that. He's got a history. It's not on the ice. It's off the ice. So that I don't think that Kane gets any supplemental discipline whatsoever. I think Toronto will look at this and go, 5'10", it was handled. Guy returned. No harm, no foul. We move on. Okay. Simple as that.
All right. I'm in the sense that they probably will find him something. I'd be surprised if he gets a game, but then again, I wouldn't be surprised if they did suspend him.
Well, and I think we're all a little surprised when Doughty got one.
Yeah. No, that's what I was gonna say. Sorry, Lindy. Was that if Doughty got a suspension for what he did, I wouldn't be surprised if the Sharks or if Kane got suspended for this. So to wrap it all up, shots on goal comes about even 34-33 in favor of the Golden Knights. Faceoffs, one time the Sharks had a 61-39 edge after one period. The Knights get it 52-48 to finish up. On the power play, Sharks were 0-5. Vegas was 3-10. The Sharks had 31 penalty minutes. The hits were 48-33. Block shots, Golden Knights doubled up 26-13. Giveaways 10-8 in favor of Vegas. That power play stat, just not the three that sticks out, but the 10. Just reminded me of games back in the Cal Palace days of just getting shellacked in every form, and like I said on our Twitter mission, and our apologies to the NBC crew, we did not know that you were going to do Twitter mission, so my apologies on that. But it was almost like when the Soviets were just so good at what they did, their precision passing, their speed, making their saves, in every aspect of the game. And I wonder if San Jose just got caught like, wow, this is unbelievable. This is unbelievable that this occurred. And you hope that that's their wake up call. And
no, this shouldn't have to be a wake up call. They've seen this multiple times this season. This shouldn't be one of those things where it's like, wow, they're passing all around. This is amazing. I wish we can do stuff like that. No, they saw that this season when they got shellacked. They need to just sit there and go, okay, how can we negate their speed? This isn't weaving for weaving's sake. You need to just shut them down by any means necessary. This is the playoffs. This isn't practice time. This isn't preseason. You need to do it.
Okay. All right, Gentry. I mean, if they need to do it, and I agree wholeheartedly, I mean, what do you do? I mean, clearly the team was outpaced in all facets of the game tonight. I mean, so. I mean, what is the magic antidote that this team can take to play this team? I mean, look at the season series. The season series is 3-0-1 in favor of Vegas, mm-hmm. and
yeah. But offer that in context. That last game that the Sharks lost in Vegas was 2 days after they had thrown everything that they had against Nashville, coming at the very end of a roadie, and you throw in a Scotia puck luck, that easily the Sharks could have won that one. And that would have been the Sharks winning both of those.
What about game three against Vegas when
the Sharks won that one?
Well, they lost
the first two, and then they won at SAP, and then they lost at the end of that road trip.
Right, and then that's what cost them the division, right? At the end of the road trip?
Well, dude, there's about eight games we can point to that cost them the division, let's be honest.
Or second in the division, excuse me.
Well, yeah, there's about eight games we can point to, which we did when we were doing those post games, where we sat there and said, write this one down, because this is one that if the Sharks miss getting their division or a spot in the division, this is going to be one that we point to and say, this is a game the Sharks should have had, and they pissed it away. I mean, again, let's not get crazy. Is it a 7-0 loss? Was it a shellacking? Yes, it was. Let me see if memory recalls, I believe the Sharks getting their asses handed to them on New Year's Eve. And what happened after that? They finished off that road trip going, I think, 4-0 or 3-1. I mean, it was a very good road trip to Eastern Canada, and they played very well. Every once in a while, for some reason, we've seen the Sharks for the longest time. Every once in a while, this team needs a wake-up call. This might be coming just at the right time. Would I have loved to see the Sharks get the victory tonight and put doubt in Vegas? Absolutely. You want to shut that building down. That would have been a colossal statement going into Saturday. Would have put the fear of God into this team. Right now, of course, they feel they're invincible. So do it on Saturday. But again, going back, Dallas, 6-0. They looked horrible. Probably the worst game the Sharks played all season long. And what happened after that? If you go and look at the stats from January 1, from 2018 up until today, Vegas and San Jose, almost identical, like almost the same amount of points, same amount of goal. I mean, just almost identical down the line. They showed it during the pregame from the new year. That's the way it was. So I don't know what Vegas did just before the new year, but San Jose got their asses handed to them 6-0 from Dallas. Dallas, a team that is not even in the playoffs right now. So I don't think it's too, you know, let's just not start pulling the ripcord just yet.
What about the Nashville game?
I mean, the 7-1.
Yeah, the 7-1 game. I mean,
every team shits the bed once in a while. It happens.
I would love to give them a pass. I would love to say, okay, you know what? We'll call it a shit the bed game.
I'm not giving anybody a pass. I'm just saying I think it's too early to, like, you know, start like manning the lifeboats.
No. But the fact that they were not competitive at all.
They weren't. Again, though, you go over the course of a season, you can literally say that about every team. There's going to be those two or three games a season where for some reason, whatever it is, whether they got shammered, you know, the night before, Vegas flu is real, whatever you want to call it, there's always going to be that game where the team just doesn't have it. Nobody's on the same page. Everybody, it's just all off. Tonight was unfortunately one of those times it happens. I look to see what adjustments are made and how we see this team respond on Saturday.
Yep.
Now, if they pull the same thing and they get, you know, if they lose that one 4-1, 5-1, then yeah, maybe there's an issue. But the fact of the matter is we're talking about the Sharks. I mean, this is a team that scored more in one game versus Anaheim than all of Vegas's previous series. So I think if you just get to Fleury once, prove that the dude is mortal, that will shift the mindset of Vegas.
And it just starts with one goal and go from there. I mean, that's realistically what we got here, folks, is one goal, and then you build off of that, you play their game. I mean, shoot, LA, I think I saw in the chat, you know, LA slowed them down too, for that matter. So, you know, Nick Neftepet. So I'm going to go through some of the stuff in the chat here.
Well, the fact that those games versus LA were all one goal games.
True. And it was 7-4 in the four game series, for that matter. Let's see here.
Sorry, I'm feisty, guys, but it just, it, you know, I think for me at least, it's just,
it's a humiliating loss.
And
it's a reality loss.
Yeah, I think it's a reality check that for as much as we thought that this team was well constructed, it's just when it comes to these teams like Vegas or Pittsburgh or hell, I mean, like I said, even Chicago back in the day, it's just whenever the Sharks just get hemmed and get a team that can transition against them, they've just never been able to figure that out.
Correct me if I'm wrong. The Sharks lost in the first round versus Edmonton last season, but during that series, there was a game where the Sharks completely embarrassed Edmonton.
Yep, 7-0, me and Rocket were at that game.
Okay, then. That's exactly my point, guys.
And the other thing, too, you could go back to game 4 of the Blues series in the Western Final, where we pooped the bed in game 4, where we had a chance to go up 3-1, and then we came back with a strong performance in game 5, and that's what the Sharks will need to do. They will need to make sure that all of that happens.
That's exactly my point. I look at that Edmonton game last year, so the whole thing, it's not 1-1, boys. It's 1-4.
Right, and the good thing is maybe you get the stinker out of the way now. In the chat, Nick Neff Tepitz, can the Sharks slow the game down, which might take them off out of their own game style? Maybe. I think that's possible, but not necessarily.
Not when you allow a Golden Knight to skate through 4 defenders going in.
Alicia, I think this is your first time we've seen you, so good evening to you. Not so different than Pittsburgh outpacing us in the Cup Final. We have seen this before. Why isn't DeBoer more prepared for the speed? And I think they've gotten more speed into the lineup, though. But I just don't know if it's just their positioning or their play or whatnot. James Abel, if San Jose loses Saturday, is it over?
Realistically, I mean, what do they, no. they say it's never over till you lose a home game, right?
Right. But,
it's not over till we say it is.
That's right. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no.
Okay, Germans. Jim.
Okay, whatever. Train of fun, whatever. What doubt do you put into Vegas after the series they had with LA? They don't give a F. They won goal games, double OTs. They just get it done. And that's true.
You just have to prove that Fleury's mortal. You give him that one game where you shellack him. That's it. That's all it's going to take. We've seen it happen before. Again, I go back to last series. You know, there was that one shellacking that the Sharks put, and you saw a little bit of doubt in Edmonton, but they were just a faster team. The defense was porous. I think the Sharks are defensively more responsible this season, but they have to, again, I go back to that power play. So many guys standing around, nobody crashing the net, no one looking for the open spot, no one looking for the backdoor pass. It was just a lot of standing around. And then the one like cross ice pass that you saw, there was so much time leading up to it. You had like 2 Vegas defenders who were like, oh yeah, we're just going to lay here in front of Fleury and really mess this pass up, because there was that much time given to that. They have to react faster.
I think it's beyond, I mean, that's a great point, AJ. I think it's beyond time to shake up that first power play unit. I mean, LeBanc's got to go. He's just holding that puck way too often. And when you have Burns, Couture, and LeBanc all basically saying, I don't want it. No, I don't want it. No, I don't want it.
I'll be honest with you. I'd replace LeBanc with Sorensen at this point.
Well, either that or Timo. At least
he gives you the entry.
Or Timo. I mean, I like Timo's game. I like his style. I mean, just a trigger man, to be quite honest, on that other point.
Well, Sorensen, 3 goals so far.
Yeah, I mean, it's an option for it. Kevin Lacey mentioning Vegas gets their Black Aces tomorrow. That must mean that the Chicago Wolves got eliminated in AHL action. So all those guys are going to be headed over. Quick reminder, the Barracuda play tomorrow in game four of their series. If they win, they're not done yet. If they win, game five will be Saturday, which we'll have double coverage of everything, of course. But if they lose on Friday night, they are eliminated, and that's when the Sharks will get their Black Aces. Not sure if that will be anything in particular to get it, that will go into the lineup, but we will see. It just jumped.
There you go. Well, for those of you, while he's doing that, I'm going to vamp really quick and say, hey, do us a favor. If you're new here, or if you've been here multiple times, still do us a favor, hit the subscribe button down below. We'd also appreciate it if you would check out our SoundCloud and iTunes. We could always appreciate the subscribes and the cool, like, thumbs up review. We're trying to build those numbers, if you would. We're very happy with the YouTube. Like to build up the other ones, but if you're new here, do us a favor. We do this after every single game, and every once in a while, we actually do some extracurricular. So hit the subscribe button, hit the little notifier. Make sure you know when we're on live every time.
Yep. Rob, I'm in game two is a prove it. Show me you can win a game at T-Mobile. Yep. I think game two, even if you lose by one goal, I think, just to make sure it's a competitive game would be very important. But the positioning wise, they need to be better, defensively sound.
I think the Sharks really need to pull game two. This could very easily become a series where the home team wins every time. You have to prove early that you can win at T-Mobile.
Yep, and you have to get one of them in order to win this series. Nick Zaravia. I don't have my NHL pronounced.
Zaravia.
There we go. Sounds like a nice wine up in Napa. But he's tuning in from Corvallis, Oregon. So thank you, good sir. Appreciate it on that. This is, I believe, the sixth time that the Sharks allowed a 4-plus goal period in team history. This is also the worst, believe it or not, folks, this is the worst loss in Sharks playoff history.
And that's something to be said. It's funny you talk about that with the playoffs and everything. I was at the San Jose Sharks watch party tonight, and Danny Miller out there pimping, talking about, do you people remember 2006 versus Edmonton? The 5-on-3 with Hannon and Smith and Kyle McLaren. Well, we have two out of those three guys here tonight, Mark Smith and Scott Hannon. And the funny thing being is that, like, doesn't, like, McLaren do, like, 10, you know, CSN pre-post games a year? Like, where the hell's he at? It's not, you know, it's not like he's not local. You couldn't get the third guy out there? Come on, man.
Yeah, right. So, in earlier action, this is probably the smallest wraparound we'll do. Pittsburgh comes back from a 2-0 deficit to beat the Caps 3-2. They lead that series one game to none.
It was 2-0.
Pretty much. And they scored the opening goal 17 seconds in, and then got their insurance goal 28 seconds into the third period. It was crazy there. Tomorrow you have Winnipeg and Nashville. That'll start at 5 p.m. on NBCSN.
Who are you taking in that one?
Really?
That's what I thought.
Really? You think I'm going to pull Nashville?
I'm just saying.
Come on. On Saturday at noon, Boston and Tampa will get their series going. That's a noon start on NBC. Sharks and Golden Knights, man, oh man, no pressure, but you are on the big NBC network for the first time in a while. So make sure you look good in front of an international audience.
That's asking too much.
Yeah, so for those in Northern California or in the general Sharks region that NBC Sports California usually is, If you're in the Bay Area, that'll be on NBC Bay Area, cable channel 3, channel 11 on your TV.
And if you're outside the Bay Area,
Sacramento.
The game will be played on the back nine.
That might be game 4 for the Sharks if they keep that up. No. In Sacramento, it'll be on KCRA channel 3 up there. And Landy, what is it, NBC 7 down there?
739, yeah.
739, yep, there you go.
On what cable platform are we discussing?
Oh, that's just cable. And DirecTV has the same as well. I think it's seven on terrestrial and cable, and then 39 on DirecTV is the digital channel. But I will be watching Hockey Night in Canada because, yeah, they have better announcers.
There you go.
Yeah, I'll have to legally stream my game because trying to watch the NBC stream on their official website is worse than the Sharks' defense tonight.
That one is tough. It is tough to look on it. It's paused. Otherwise, Gent, just come on over.
So. Or I can give you some pointers on how to get Hockey Night in Canada, Gentry, if you want.
Well, you might be getting a lot of people. Yeah, you might get a lot of people sliding in your DMs there, folks. All right, so
at Eric Landy on Twitter.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Yes. So on that note, Mr. Landy, your final thoughts and where the people can find you on the social using, for all that information.
Yeah, you can find me in all the social media garbage using my first name and my last name. I make no qualms about it. You can always find me there. Final thoughts. Oh, boy. I mean, I guess burn the tape or take what you can from the tape and just go forward. I mean, it can't really get much worse than this. My final thoughts.
Gotcha. Notch, bro, thank you for joining us. Your final thoughts and where the people can find you.
I'm going to amend my prediction for this series. I said that the Vegas was going to win it in 6. I say now that they're going to win it in 5. You can follow me at JAlexander46 for all my most hot takery there. And same thing on Instagram. This is worse than watching, you know, Gone with the Wind without having the luxury of taking a piss break.
Hey, you know what? I would have rather the Gone with the Wind than this.
And Mr. Strong, your final thoughts and where the people can find you.
Again, a final thought. Let's just encapsulate this one. It's one loss. It's best of 7, not best of 1. Learn from what the hell happened tonight. Fix it. And make Fleury look like he is mortal. Just get some pass for it. I would have felt better about it. If the Sharks had lost 10-3 or 10-4, I would have felt better about it because you did get some past Fleury. That's my biggest beef tonight. The Sharks did not put themselves in the right spots to get that goal past Fleury. You got to get him moving laterally. I'm losing it just thinking about all the times in my mind I'm going, okay, he's out of position. He's out of position. You know, like, find those open spaces. So just make Fleury look mortal. The other thing that I have to say before I go into the social, do you remember when October, the end of October comes around and you go to your neighbor's houses and they've got like that fake, like cobwebbing spider web thingy or whatever. I swear to God, the top of Landy's forehead looks like that right now. And it's been bothering me since we started. It's just, dude, you've got this stream of hair coming down.
You like it? You like it?
It's just driving. It's been driving me nuts, dude.
It's right here. It's nice. Oh,
my God. It's been driving me nuts. So with that, AJ_Strong on the Twitter, on the Instagram. Also doing a little gramming here and there for Teal Town USA. And to find everything under God's green earth that is teal, tealtownusa.com.
Oh, hey, everybody, Landy's mom's in the chat. Hockey mom. That's my mom.
Oh.
Hi, hockey mom. Hi, Landy's mom.
Why is it that we have a photo with her and you don't?
I don't know. I'm a horrible son. Dun.
Well, in case you missed this or you want to watch this again, We appreciate you if you did. Check us out on TealTownUSA.com or your favorite podcatcher, whether it's Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, YouTube, or TuneIn. Check us out all over the place where you can find the podcatcher. And if there's one that we've missed, let us know.
The game sucks so much. If you look behind me, Kayla left. She's like, I'm out. Screw it. I'm done.
Can't labor on that one. Yeah. That one's a tough one.
Laurel probably pointed that out like a half an hour ago, and I didn't even notice. But anyway.
So we will. Yes, we have finally both Eric's moms in with us. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, with that, we will be back with you following game two of this series, and we can only hope that things can get better. And I don't think it can get any worse, folks. So make sure you
challenge accepted.
Yes, exactly. So make sure you like this video. Make sure you tell people about it. Make sure you subscribe and tell all your friends. We'll be back with you Saturday night following Sharks and Knights. Laurel said that she did point it out, AJ. We will see you after game two on Saturday. So until then, keep it real. Keep it teal. Keep it real teal, folks. Have a good night, and we will see you Saturday night following game two.